Hello, this is Catherine Watkin from Selling from the Heart, and hello, lovely people. I know it's a little while. If you've been in my community for a long time, you'll know that it's a little while since you've had anything new from me, and that's because I've just taken a break for the whole of August. That's the way that I'm structuring my business at the moment. So I take time out in the summer. I have no programs running, so the Get More Clients Saying Yes program isn't running, the Business from the Heart mentoring program goes on hold, and so do any private one-to-one clients that I happen to be working with. And during that time, I've had a lovely holiday, proper holiday, and I've also been doing a bit of work behind the scenes, preparing for my annual launch, which is coming up in September. And while I was away on my holiday, I had an experience being at the receiving end of poor follow-up. And I know it's something that I talk about, and I've blogged about it before. I talk about it a lot within the actual Get More Clients Saying Yes program, but just how important it is for us to stop buying into our stories that are all about us, about why we shouldn't follow up with somebody and how it can make the client feel when you don't do that properly. So I want to talk to you about that. That's what I've decided to sort of hop on and record this video for. And it just really highlights for me how it's so easy to get into that mode of, you know, when you are in a place in your business where you don't maybe have fully the flow of clients that you need just yet, it's really easy to fall into it being all about you. You know, as in, it's all about me and how I feel. So you're thinking, oh, I better not follow up with that person because I don't want them to think I'm being pushy, or the last thing I want is for them to think that I'm just after their money. And of course, what we need to do is, if we then can flip over into it being all about them, so it's all about the client, we would come at it from a very different place. So either, oh, it's all about me and I don't want this client to think that I'm being pushy or that I'm just after their money, versus it's all about them, which is what's really best for them. And if what they really need and what's best for them is further work with me, because there's more work to be done here to really make a difference, then I need to put what's best for the client first. I need to put what's best for the client before my own slight feelings of discomfort. And so, yeah, like I said, I want to share with you a bit of a real life example from this summer. So I, like I said to you, I was at a festival. There were quite a number of healers and body workers at the festival, and they had an opportunity to stand up and speak to the crowd. There were about, I don't know, a couple of hundred people. There wasn't massive, a couple of hundred people. They had an opportunity to stand up and speak, just to tell us a bit about what they did. And there was one particular who spoke, and I really felt I resonated. I thought, yeah, I'm gonna go and book a session with her. So this was a great business opportunity for her. There was no sales conversation. It was a very easy way, by being at that festival, for her to get her first clients booked in. So for me, with my business head on, I'm thinking, oh, this is fantastic for her. She can book people in for 1 or 2 hour sessions, and she can then lead that into doing long-term ongoing work with her. But, you know, that was my immediate assumption. So I went along for my 2 hour session, and during the session, and it was a combination of physical and energetic work, so it was sort of hands-on, it wasn't something that we would have done remotely. And during the session, I really got an insight into a particular issue that I didn't think was that much of a big deal. But actually, during that session, I really got a glimpse into how it was having a bigger impact than I realised, and how it was actually holding me back from doing some things in my life that I might like to do. And so while we were actually in the session itself, I had resolved in my own mind, you know, I want to do more work with her. I'm going to call her Diana. That's not her name. I'm going to call her Diana for the sake of the example. And so when the session finished and we sat back down on the sofa to sort of wrap up, I fully expected Diana to sort of open up that conversation about the fact that there was more work to be done and how she could help me with that if I was interested. And she didn't. She did mention that there was further work to be done, and she actually suggested that I look for somebody more local to me to help me with that. She was based in Devon and I'm based in London. So she suggested that there is further work to be done, and why don't I go back to London and see if I can, and I think she even suggested she might be able to help recommend somebody out. I don't think she did. She'd just go and find somebody. And I said, well, actually, I feel there's a rapport between us and there's a trust between us. I'd really like to continue that work with you. Okay, she said, here's my business card, you can get in touch. And she ushered me out. Now, imagine how that left me feeling. We'd had a very, very supported, safe space. It was a 2-hour healing session, physical and energetic. So you can imagine it was quite intimate. You're quite intimate, they're quite vulnerable settings. And I felt that I wanted to do further work, but I was ushered out. And it was almost as though I'd been held in this very safe place by this practitioner and then almost spat out of the door with, here's my card, get in touch. Now, I'm sure what was going through her mind was something along the lines of, she was probably thinking to herself, oh, she's never going to want to travel 200 miles to have more work with me. Why would she do that? So I'm not going to mention it. She might have been thinking, I know she needs further work, but I don't want to recommend it because the last thing I want is for Catherine to think that I'm just after her money or just after her business. And so I'm going to leave the ball in her court. She knows what I do and she's got my card, so it's up to her. And of course, I was feeling just a little bit rejected. And I thought, maybe she's in a rush, maybe she's got somebody else booked in straight after me and she's on a tight schedule, so she needed to get me out quickly, because I was sitting there all ready and available and I was asking the right questions and saying the right things to lead towards her booking me in for, further work later on with me travelling to see her. So I thought, okay, well, still with my business head on, I'm thinking, well, she'll probably go home and follow up with us all. So anyone who she's had a session with at this festival, with a good business head on, she'll be going home and she'll be getting in touch. So I'm sure I'll hear from her within the next few days to suggest the next steps, especially now she knows that I'm interested. A week went by, a bit more than a week went by. And do you know what started going through my head? And this is the important piece I want you to hear. Now, and I know that when I say this, this is partly my stuff. We all have our stuff. We have our gremlins, our triggers, that no matter how much work we do on ourselves, will often come back and bite us. It raised for me an old gremlin that doesn't show its head so much anymore. But I thought, what if she didn't enjoy that session? It was intimate work, just the two of us in a room for 2 hours. What if, as a client, she didn't enjoy working with me? What if I irritated her? Or in some other way, I was not her ideal client and she doesn't want to do further work with me? That was the first thing that went through my head. And it would have been really easy for me, dropping into that more vulnerable, smaller version of myself, to have left it there and thought, oh, well, she obviously doesn't want to do any more work with me. I'd better leave it at that. The other part of my brain was able to say, maybe she doesn't have a very good sales process. And so eventually I sent her an email and she replied quite quickly. And it was a very warm email. And I felt, yes, she's really open to doing more work. And by email, she gave me an option. She gave me a couple of choices. I could either travel to her and do some one day intensives, or occasionally she has a clinic in London and I could come to the clinic in London, but that's more expensive. So she's left the ball in my court. And now what I've done, here's what I've done, interesting. I've replied to her and said, thank you for the options. I'm actually about to go into a very busy period in my business. So I'm going to get in touch with you again in October. Okay, is that sounding familiar? Now, I'm right here, right now, ready. I was right there and ready on the day. I was right there and ready within a week of that for her to have got me on a phone call to have a conversation about the best way for us to work together, to come up with a plan for me to travel to her in Devon and for her to send me an invoice and get payment from me. Now we are, the ball is in my court. I'm getting back to her in October, and October's a fairly long way away. But think about all the things that could happen between now and October. I mean, for one thing, for starters, this issue wasn't particularly bothering me before I had that session. So by October, it's quite likely that this thing has taken low priority again. It's just not a major issue for me anymore, and it goes back on the back burner. Or by October, I've come across somebody more local to me in London who does similar work, and I've decided to work with that person instead. And so her client, who was right there, not only wanting to go ahead, but wanting to feel supported and cared for, was sort of left hanging, and I've drifted away. Now, there's two things that have happened there. There's the impact on her business. Now, there's another scenario here that we haven't talked about, which is it's just quite possible that she is pretty busy. It's quite possible that she's already fully booked with clients and she just doesn't need another one. And I know how that feels. That is certainly something that happens to me from time to time, although I'm very clear about that. And I think it's important that we are clear. You know, if you are fully booked and you're not taking on any clients, just be really clear and very clear about that. So it's black and white to your clients and they're not left wondering what's going on. So that's a possibility. But let's say that that's not the case. There's two things that's happening. First of all, this is having an impact on her business, because if she's not following up with me, well, then chances are she's not following it with anybody else. And there's a huge amount of business that she's probably missing out on. But the other thing is, and I know that for many of you who are in business because you want to make a difference, you're heart-centered business owners, the issue is, look at the impact it has on the client. That when you don't follow up in a confident way, your client is left potentially feeling unwanted, unloved, uncared for. Did I say unsupported twice? Unsupported, doubly unsupported, and rejected. And you should be offering your client a safe space. And so if I could go and make some tweaks to Diana's sales process, there's a number of things that I would do. So I'm just going to outline those because these might be useful for you as well. First of all, she had an opportunity to offer sessions at a festival with a couple of hundred people present, and she gave her short blurb, and some of us resonated with her, so far so good. The first thing I would have changed for her would have been to allow space between each session. So if she did have people back to back, to allow 20 or 30 minutes in between them, so that she could to have that conversation with the person about the possibility of ongoing work, if that was something that she could see was valuable and needed. Now, if that wasn't possible, or even if it was, because in that setting, people may not, you know, have come to those sessions with their payment details or necessarily ready to book, but to at least start off that conversation and to arrange with that person, you know, so maybe she would only have 15 minutes between appointments. That's enough to talk about further work and book in to have a conversation. So what she could have done with me was said, you know, I've got another client straight after you, but why don't we book a call for, say, Wednesday next week? Will you be free on Wednesday? Let's book a call then and let's have a conversation about the best way that I can support you going forward. The other thing that I would have had her do, if she hadn't done that, would have been at the least to come home and send a follow-up email to all of the people who she had treated during the festival, to give a brief summary of the work they'd done, to say how much she'd enjoyed doing that work with them, and to offer them the possibility of having a conversation to talk about further work. And you know, you can, all you're doing is you're offering that. People are free to say, yes, I would like to have a conversation, or no, thank you. I had my 2-hour session at the festival and that was lovely, thank you very much. You know, you're not forcing anyone to do anything, you're just giving them the options. You're letting them know that you are there and that you are available, that you want to support them and that you care about them. And the other really big thing that I would do to tweak her process, because she was a very, very loving and caring person in the session, I would have had her make it really clear that she wanted to do further work with me. Because just think about this in relation to you. Don't we always want to buy services from people who we believe actually care about us on a personal level? This doesn't matter whether it's, you know, whether it's massage or coaching or business consulting or your accountant or your web designer. You're much more likely to work with somebody if you feel that they genuinely care about you, that they care about your life, that they care about your business. And so I would also have tweaked that. And And the takeaway from this video, really, that the point I'm really wanting to emphasise, I mean, go and have a read of the blog post that goes that I wrote as well. But the real takeaway here for you is about how the client feels if you're not following up, particularly if they know they do want further support from you, and how important it is for you to stop telling yourself the stories about why you shouldn't follow up. And stop putting your own comfort first and instead put the client first. It's your duty and your responsibility as the practitioner, as the service provider, to be the one reaching out to make that recommendation or to be the one reaching out to offer a further conversation. It's the client's responsibility to decide whether they want to follow up on that or not, but you need to be reaching out. It's almost an unspoken etiquette. You know, I'm sure that Diana, the healer, was thinking, oh, well, she's had a 2-hour session with me. She knows what I do. She knows where I'm based. She's got my contact details. She'll get in touch. But of course, that's not the way it works. We tend, as the people buying the services, as the clients, we tend to expect the service provider to be the one who takes the lead. They're the expert to us. They're the one that we're looking for guidance. You know, when I've been offered a choice between do I go to Devon for some intensive 1 or 2 day sessions or do I go to London for some 1 hour sessions, I sort of don't really know. You know, I know the outcome I want to get, but I want my practitioner to say, given the outcome you want to get, this is the way I think we should work together. This is the thing that's going to give you the best outcome. So, my challenge for you today, should I call it a challenge? Are we ready for a challenge already? It's not even quite September. My invitation, let's make it an invitation because it's still August. My invitation to you would be to have a reflect. Who can you follow up with today? Have a think. Are there any ex-previous clients that you haven't been in touch with for a while that might benefit from a top-up or from doing some further work? Is there anyone that you've met networking who you said you'd follow up with that you haven't? Is there anyone that you had a sales conversation with maybe 6 months ago or 3 months ago and they decided not to go ahead? Who can you reach out to today? Whether that's by sending them an email, whether it's by sending them a message on social media, like a Facebook message, or whether it's by picking up the phone. You know, your phone is such a powerful part of your business, and a lot of us tend to neglect it these days with the focus on the online marketing and the social media. But who can you reach out to see how they're doing, to check in with them, to find out how they're doing, to find out whether they'd like to have a conversation? Who can you follow up with today? So I'd love to invite you to, if you've watched the video all this way through, don't let it stop here. Take another 15 minutes when you stop the video and go and find someone to follow up with and go follow up with them. See what happens. It's not as scary as you think. So that's all from me today. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure to talk to you all and to support you. And I'm getting ready for back to school September tomorrow. And I don't have children, but I always call it back to school September because it feels like back to school for me and also for all the clients in my programs. So lots of love to you, and I shall see you on the next video or blog post coming up soon. Bye-bye.